the meme. Chase that dream, not the meme. Chase that dream, not the meme.
Welcome to Dreams Not Memes podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is another episode of Dreams Not Memes. I'm here with my friend Leah Menaker, who is a musician and instrumentalist. And today we are going to talk to Leah about her story. How's it going?
It's good. Thanks for having me.
Good, good, good. And I just realized I said musician and instrumentalist, and that's a little redundant, so we can all laugh for a moment.
It sounded cool.
I'll take it. I meant to say songwriter and musician, but anyways, how did you start your journey as a creative?
How did I start my journey as a creative? Okay, well, I have always sang. I always think of myself as a singer first, and I mean, like, When I was born, my mom said I was like singing in the crib, like always singing. So I almost, it sounds so corny, but I almost feel like I was born to sing. Like, and I still, without getting too off topic, I still feel like I sing better than I talk to people. It's easiest for me to express that way. So I've always sang. And I guess I grew up really doing a lot of musical theater. That's how I first created. And I loved it. I did it all the way through until college. I went to school, Penn State, for musical theater, and I wanted to be on Broadway and do the whole thing. And so in a sense, that's sort of how I started creating, but I kind of feel like the real creation for me happened when I got into the real world after school and got rejected from everything.
True.
And I felt like that's when I started to find myself. So I felt like, and I know this isn't true for all theater by any means, but my experience with a lot of the musical theater was I could not be myself, or it was like, we just don't have a place for you in this show. Sorry, you don't fit in here. You don't fit in there. So that led me to writing and doing my own stuff, because I felt like, you know, you were kind of more applauded for being your own, whatever you wanted to be, singer, songwriter, right? And so that was, let's see, maybe, how old am I? I start to forget. That must have been like 13 years ago or so. And like, I had always been writing in college, but I was kind of like, oh, shy. Like, I write a little, but, you know. And then I started writing to just kind of, I guess, find myself. And we were all, you know, in your early 20s. I guess that's what you do. then I got off track. So then late 20s, I said, I just want to save the world. And so I went to school for public health. Got out, found myself at the CDC. As somebody that had been a, like an artistic person my whole life, like, you know, my whole life, all I knew. And then I just found myself surrounded by scientists going, cool, but I, where, like, what? I just sort of fell apart and was like, where am I? And that's when I started writing the songs that ended up being my debut EP, like all about the self and who am I if I'm not a musician? Does that mean I'm different? Or who am I now that I'm not doing what I love? Or who am I that now that I'm almost 30? And maybe it's not just about following my dreams, and it's about being with the people I love. But then what does that mean? And, you know, all those questions that I think are especially big in your 30s. Am I talking too much?
So, no, you're not talking too much. And I thought It was very interesting to hear your story about how you went into musical theater and then went to public health, and now you're back to being a musician. What I'd like to know about your origin is, like, during that time when you were in public health, like, you know, I'm pretty sure listeners are thinking, like, oh, did you meet Dr. Fauci? But that's not where I'm going here. Did you ever think about how are these non-musical experiences influencing your music? Because I come to find that, like, sometimes when you leave the day-to-day of being a musician, whether that's songwriting, publishing, or whatever, those non, like, let's say C-sharp experiences, I'm making that up, are the things that, like, help you put your music back together in a different way. So did it feel like rediscovery in some ways?
Yes, in a roundabout way, because it was actually like a sad time for me, because I thought I realized later, which is sort of answers your question. I realized through this experience, the day to day, where I was becoming like pretty numb, and I didn't know what was going on with me. Like, I was like, I need to go to a therapist and see. I mean, therapists are great, but I was like, I don't know what was wrong with me. You know, and what was wrong was just that, like, I had stopped playing music entirely. Like, I wasn't going home and being like, okay, now I'm going to write. I was like, I realized later, I was really kind of running away from what I felt like. Well, no one's gonna like my music. No one listens to it. And I'm just not like, I just got to do something that is going to make me money that I can save the world with or help the world, you know? And so I like decided that means I don't do that anymore. And so I realized how, like, it made me sad. So my music, my first songs were kind of probably pretty sad as I started to find it again. And then I was like, I met my now husband in Atlanta, and he was like, let's go back up east. And I was like, all right, fuck this. I need to play music. And that's when I went and like, I want to do this. Like, and part of that too was, so then I went on tour, because we had a couple months before we moved, and I had some opportunity to kind of build a little tour. And it was the most incredible experience. Like, I can't wait for your tour to hear all about it. Like, just meeting so many people and like just being fueled by like, you know, these interactions around music, around new places, around. And I realized the amount of people that were affected by what I was doing was way more than I was at when I was at the leading health organization in the country. And I was like, wow. Okay. So lesson learned, like, and it sounds obvious, but you know, do what makes you the best you. And that is what's going to help the world. Not, you know, being like, I'm working for like top health things now. I mean, I wasn't doing anything for anyone, you know? So it was a really interesting lesson, actually.
No, I really like that. And it's a great like learning point to like, how you arrive to who you are today and what you do day to day. So with that being said, let's take a quick pause and learn more about your story at the next half of the sentence.
Cool.
Quick message. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Dreams.Memes. Please make sure to follow Dreams.Memes Podcast on your preferred streaming channel or on Instagram at Dreams.Memes Podcast. To support Dreams.Memes Podcast, feel free to contact me at daywithoutlove@gmail.com for advertising or sponsorship opportunities. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, sweet. So that's a pause. And yeah, I have 6 dates left, and then I just have a few locals here and there to like tap on the shoulder, like, hey, are you down?
That's awesome.
And I think we should be set. One venue changed owners. I don't think that should make a difference unless it's Live Nation. But I think I'm going to announce it in a couple of weeks and then just hit the press with singles, all that stuff. And just see what happens.
That's the right way to do it.
Yeah, because like I've toured plenty of times before, and like I'm at a point where I can average like, okay, I make pretty good money like each night, but I think my longest tour has been 3 weeks, so I've never done an 8-week one. So we'll see. There's some breaks, but not a lot. So
that's all. And you're going like all the way to the. Are you going to like California?
Yeah. Oregon? Yeah. So, California, I'm going to be 4 days there. I got San Bernardino, San Diego, and we're working on the LA one. And then we're going to have a day off in LA with my partner's girlfriend. And then we're going to go to Portland, Oregon. Still haven't heard from Seattle. Seattle's one of those 7. And then Salt Lake City, Salt Lake City, Utah, and then I have to figure out Nebraska and Montana. Then I got Denver. So it's like those in-between states that are like.
So you're looking for the venue in Seattle?
Yeah, or a house.
So if it helps, I can send you. I mean, I don't know since the pandemic, like who still survived, but sure. I could send you where I played. It was a decent, like cool little hole in the wall. See if
that's fine. Yeah, because I'm playing anywhere from like we have in Austin, Texas. Like I have a list of places to contact. I'm using TikTok and then Denton. Then I just got Louisville and St. Louis, and then I'm done.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's like it's cool. That's what I mean. Like it's just those little in betweens, but all everything else is full. There's some places I'm just like, all right, I'm gonna spend 2 days here, like New Orleans. We're gonna play New Orleans and we're gonna be in New Orleans. You know,
I've never been there. That's one place I'm like dying to go to.
And my friend told me the place I'm playing in New Orleans is like crowded every night. So I feel
my god, that's
I feel
awesome.
Very good about that. So I just need to get like one more local. But yeah, that other recommendations would be very helpful.
Cool.
All right. So I'm gonna ask you a few more questions, probably gonna be like 5-10 minutes, and then we're gonna wrap
up.
All right. So 1, 2, 3. All right, now we're back. Ooh, let's do that again because I just hit my 1, 2, 3. All right, now we're back. So you were talking about, you know, being very meaningful and, you know, learning the impact that you have as a musician. What I'd like to ask is, what are you working on right now? And what does it mean to be a creative with intent today? Because, you know, this is a COVID question, but we are kind of in the midst of a transition with music as people are coming back to play and we're approaching a new season.
Yeah. So what I'm working on now is I have been producing a lot more than performing. I don't know. Part of that is maybe because I'm a, kind of an introverted person. I like just kind of being in the room and kind of creating. But I've been producing for myself, for others. But I'm interested in unique projects whenever possible and collaborating whenever possible. So especially with people all over the world. So I'm working with a guy in Brazil right now. I just did a film score for like a dance play, which was, it was a dance play and then they made it into a film, which was a really cool, you know, just a different kind of way to use music. So they sent me, there is like a 35 minute show, mostly dancing. They sent that to me and then based on their movement and their description of what they wanted for everything, you know, I created the music. So, you know, I'd never kind of watched dancers to create music before, so that was a, you know, unique experience. So I don't know if that answers your question, just finding unique ways to use music. But where I'd like to go with this, and I don't know when, I don't know how, I have a few people I'm going to meet with and kind of just get the ball rolling, because is I want to intersect the health and the music. So there's a organization called Musicians Without Borders. I don't know if you know them.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love this idea of like, using, like training leaders in different communities on how to use music, almost like a music therapy for places that, you know, refugee camps, war torn areas, just peace building. I mean, peace building in any community, I'm sure we could use it to talk about HIV, racism, like just any way we can use music in that way. And I'm not sure what that looks like because I'd like to volunteer my time, but I still would like to make a paycheck. So like, you know, I need to find the job where I can like do that. But I'd like to meet with, you know, like if anyone's listening who runs an organization, a health organization, anything involving immigration, whatever, where we could use music somehow to help anything. I mean, that's where I want to be without having to get a music therapy degree because I don't have the time and money to spend on that, especially the money. But that's where I want to go. That's really where I want to invest my time.
True. And, you know, I can say I've interviewed 7 music therapists so far.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay.
I've also interviewed many owners of nonprofits and as well as a lot of designers and project managers. And something that I've learned from a lot of them is music is being viewed as more of a it's being viewed more as a widget of utility than just entertainment. And what I mean by that is we already are aware of the field known as music therapy, but there are organizations that are trying to look at, like, how can we use music to motivate our employees before, during, and after work? How can we use music to, you know, increase sales for a certain product or project experience or user experience? So, while I don't know anyone off the top of the head other than the people that I've interviewed, I'm pretty sure there is a way to, like, think about, like, how does playing major versus, say, diminished seventh chords change the way people feel about themselves when they are in a state of mania or depression or anxiety, et cetera, et cetera? Because, like, what we're really talking about and diving into is how does sonic stimuli, music, influence the metaphysical or somatic impulses in the brain, and how can we use that in our day to day?
Well, you put that so beautifully. that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. And I occasionally I play senior homes, and I actually find those to be really rewarding and, like, important, because I feel like when you see how and feel how that stimulates the brain of seniors that have maybe lost some memory or just seeking, what I notice is, like, all they want is, like, to seek, like, is to feel that joy from, like, a memory or just from togetherness and music. And it's one of the only communities I've seen where, like, there's such a strong connection to music without distraction, without, like, expectation. It's just, like, sit and respond together around music, and that's it. Like, it's just, and it's, there's something so cool about that. I don't know.
No, I completely agree. And I mean, when you just brought up seniors, something that comes to mind is Pat Martino. Are you aware of Pat Martino or, like, his story?
I don't think so.
So he's a Philly-based jazz artist and probably one of the best jazz artists to come out of Philly. Not the, but one of them. Not going to get down that rabbit hole. But he was a virtuoso-style guitarist, got in, I believe, a plane or car accident. If you're listening and you're like, wow, he's dumb, I'm sorry, just Google it. And he lost all of his brain connections to play guitar. But it was the act of listening to his old recordings and music in general, which allowed him to rewire the synapses in his brain to relearn how to play guitar. And this is, we're not talking about someone who, like, just picked up a guitar. We're talking about someone that had a career traveling the world, playing guitar, got an accident, lost all of his marbles, but it was the act of listening which allowed him to relearn who he was and get his chops back.
That's cool. That's amazing. And
the reason why I'm bringing this up is, like, you're talking about playing to an audience of elderly people who then are able to, like, get back memories of their own livelihood.
Yeah. It's music on a whole new level. It's so cool. Yeah.
And that also brings this question. Is that an added layer for you for understanding your own value as a musician? Because, like you said, when you went on tour, you realized how much of an impact you had. So, like, when you're playing with those elderly people, what is that?
Yes. Because I guess if I look at, you know, how much we have to be on social media and promoting and trying to find our fans and that whole thing that makes me want to throw up, but we all have to do it. There's that. But then when I sit in front of, you know, in these senior homes, it's like my ego just completely goes away. All of that promo and all that crap goes away. And I feel, I feel like there's this sense of, I guess maybe I already said this, but like connecting around music in such a different way than anywhere else I play. I don't care if I were to play like a huge thousands of people stadium. Like there's a connection. There's something really real, and there's no fake great job. There's no, I mean, it's just like, it doesn't matter if you play a wrong note. It doesn't matter. It's the only time where I don't care if I'm playing like the same John Denver song 300 times, because it's not even about that anymore. It's about something like I've never experienced. Like at first I did these just because I'm like, I need, you know, it's a nice thing to do. They like it. Need a couple extra bucks. And then I was like, oh, wow. Like this is crazy. Like this is, I mean, also they're so appreciative. I mean, they kind of stare at you sometimes. You're like, are they happy? Are they enjoying it? Yeah. Are they into it? But then and maybe you've done them, but I don't know. But then afterwards, it's like, I've had them come up to me and just be like, thank you. Thank you so much. Just because they just want the experience of like really listening and singing and participating and being, I mean, I hand out instruments. I'm like, let's go. It just, I don't even care if we're offbeat. Like it takes music into in a realm that I never think about. You know, I'm usually like, let's create good music. But it doesn't matter. It's like, let's just play together. Let's just sing together. So I don't know if that answers your question. Like, I guess whatever value I add, I mean, I'm guessing most people that go in there with that idea do that for them. So I don't think it's like just me or anything, but I do think that it adds more meaning to the music business for me and what I do than most other things, you know?
Sure.
So I, yeah.
And you did answer my question.
Okay.
And I'd like to ask, you know, rectifying the life change of being in public health and being in music, well, actually going from music theater to public health, back to music, to now wanting to live in this intersection of healthcare and music, do you see yourself working more on an entrepreneurial level where like you create this, you know, product or project that helps combine public health or, you know, mental health or whatever it is in the health industry of music? Or would you rather be more collaborative and or work for an organization? Because I know you mentioned you want to know what organizations to work with, but I just want to dive in a little deeper with that.
Yeah, you know, I'm still figuring that all out. Like, I have a few friends who are like, well, I should connect you to this person. And I'm like, well, that sounds like an interesting person and a cool organization. And if the right thing came along, I feel like, and if they were like, oh, we've always had this idea. And I'm like, oh, well that, you know, I kind of imagine something kind of intersecting nicely like that. But I also feel like I could, if I can't find that maybe I just figure out my own way. And there's so many routes, like, you know, there's like the senior homes, there's I mean, there's less women in music, and then when you go into socioeconomic status, and I mean, we just more access to music and musical instruments and whatever that looks like. Or, you know, the Musicians Without Borders are at, I mean, one day I swear I'll take their training, because I want to learn how to organize communities and empower them, you know, to be able to carry that in their community, to heal people. And I mean, that sounds incredible. So yeah, there's like, I guess I'm at the beginning stages, because I have to figure out what route makes the most sense. But I'm just feeling, I guess, after COVID and after a few years of this, of like just kind of producing and releasing, and feeling like I want more of that meaning that I feel when I'm working with seniors, that's where I see it heading, somewhere around one of those routes.
No, I appreciate that a lot. And, you know, that was a lot more detailed than what I asked for. So I'm just going to
cool.
say you did well. I'm going to cut myself off. That won't be included. But you had this face like, did I answer it? And I was like, yes, you did.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to say that.
I have the tendency, because I have like serious ADHD, where I'm like this and then this and then
No, you did well. Anyways, it's definitely been a pleasure talking to you and learning about your experiences. And more so, I really like how willing you are to try new things in the realm of healthcare and music, and how those two intersect. because I truly believe like there's going to be more opportunities, and not just from a performance perspective, but more from a user experience level. Because it's like, take a hospital, for example. Like, hospitals aren't places where we really hear music other than elevator music, but how can we use music to be a lot more of a place of healing and hope, especially when high level stress is occurring? Like, you know, I've been in a hospital bed when my grandfather had cancer, and when that occurred, I didn't hear music. I just was experiencing the pain of him suffering, you know? So if we had music, and I don't mean sync licensing, I mean someone performing or asking, do you want a sound treatment to cope with your stress? We allow more room for having sound as a place for healing and experiencing healing.
I love that.
But I just want to ask you lastly, is there anything you would like to share with us that's motivating or insightful from your journey as a creative?
Anything I'd like to share? The first thing that comes to mind is, and then it just slipped my mind.
It's okay.
Hopefully that edit that out.
Yeah.
The first thing that comes to mind is something along the lines of like, nobody knows what the hell they're doing. So like, if you believe in something and you have, you know, an ounce of the talent and like a whole lot of passion, to just do it. Cause I feel like the biggest journey I've had recently over the past probably year is like getting over that hump. And it's still a challenge sometimes, but like, oh, well, I'm not as experienced as that person, or, well, I've only done this. I've never done that. So, and it's just all bullshit. None of us know what we're doing. Just do it. that's what came to mind.
I love that. Well, this has definitely been a good episode of Dreams Not Memes. Social media links will be in the description of this episode. And be sure to listen to Leah Miniker. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Yeah. I didn't share anything about.
Hi, this is Brian from A Day Without Love. Thank you for listening to Dreams Not Memes. I just want you to remember, your dreams matter. If you'd like to support this podcast, email adaywithoutlove@gmail.com for donation information, or follow me for weekly episodes. Thank you for listening and joining my journey. Have a good day.